Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple verses there. We're going to look at a couple of verses from Jeremiah chapter 1 and Jeremiah chapter 2, and one verse out of Ephesians chapter 2. So Jeremiah chapter 5 and then Jeremiah chapter 1 and 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. So good to see you here today. And we are gathered here this morning, as we do each Sunday morning, to study God's Word. And so I really do hope you have your Bible and maybe a pen or a pencil so that you can take notes, because you see, God is our tutor. God is our teacher. And today He will educate you and instruct you and coach you and counsel you and hopefully even inspire you. Because you see, this is His classroom, and we are His students. And so you may have thought, well, I've been out of school for a long time, but welcome back. You're in school once again, and we are students of God's Word, and so we are to listen and learn and read and receive. And you should know that you're going to get a grade. You will be graded for this, and that's right, amen. But your classroom experience is only a small percentage of the grade. A greater part of the grade goes on how you live these lessons out in the world, outside of the walls of the church. So today, God is certainly hoping to teach us something, and we'll find out if we have learned the lessons of God. We'll find that out tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe next month, and even next year. Because sometime in your life, God will decide it's time to test you. And you will go through a test, and you will go through a trial. And it will be a pop quiz. Remember those in school? That pop quiz, it came without a warning. And that's how so many of our tests in life come. It's without a warning. And that's when you will discover if you have listened and learned the lessons that God is trying to teach you. But I can promise you this, without warning, a pop quiz is coming your way. In life, it happens. So can I ask you, are you ready for the test? Are you ready for what's going to come your way? Because it certainly will. And so, if you're anything like me, you may not like this classroom stuff. You may not like the test. You may not like the trials. Certainly, many of you are like me. When I come to church, I like to hear a good story that lifts me up and makes me smile and makes me laugh and makes me feel good. And the Bible is full of stories like that. But I want you to know, the Bible is also full of warnings. It's full of stories of warnings to God's people. It's filled with instruction. And many people have listened to these warnings and have heeded God's warnings and followed God's instructions and learned the lessons that God wanted to teach them. And then when those lessons and those tests came, they were able to trust God for the impossible in their life. And it could be that some of you are here today and you're at that point in your life where God's really wanting you to trust Him for something. And so let me encourage you, learn from Him today. Listen for His voice today. Because God wants to speak to you right here and right now. He has something great that He wants to do in your life. So listen for His voice. Listen for him as he tries to teach you. Because this morning, I'm going to sort of try my best to unbear my heart to you. And I'm going to do that through the book of Jeremiah. And we'll begin in Jeremiah chapter 5. And I really want to share with you a perspective that we as God's people, that we as a church should have. Because I am convinced that the day that you and I live in, that God, the God that we know, is actually and purposely and really ignored. Just ignored in the time that we live in. And I want you to know, and you may have already figured this out about me, I'm not one of those preachers who likes to preach those doomsday messages, but I do believe that as a nation, we're living on the edge of our death. We are in trouble as a nation. Now, I love this nation that we live in. I'm so grateful that God chose for me to be born in America. I couldn't choose that myself, but I was blessed to be born in America. There's so much to love about America, so much to celebrate. All of our freedoms and all of our benefits, it's great, and there's no greater place in the world to live. But honestly, as we compare our nation with the standards of God, we come up substantially short. Substantially short. Life as we know it here in America is absolutely consumed with worldly pleasures. You can't have all these worldly pleasures consuming your life and God living in your life at the same time. It's a difficult, difficult thing. And so here we are as a society, and we have rushed recklessly into what Paul calls a reprobate mind. We've just gone head first, and it's like evil is everywhere, and it's just in massive proportions, even in the church. Even in God's house, even among those of us who proudly proclaim that we are Christians. It has gone so far that Christians have invited the world into their home. I mean, we have just opened our doors and have invited sin into our homes. And it's really worse than just inviting sin in our homes. We are actually paying to have sin come into our homes. We are more than willing to pay to invite sin into our house as we just sit on our sofas watching Cinemax. Now, if that's not obvious enough, I need to say that word again, right? Cinemax, right? Here we are, we sit on our sofas eating a Cinnabon, watching Cinemax, hoping that we're going to get physically fit and spiritually fit while we're eating Cinnabons. Yeah, I do like Cinnabons, right? While we're eating Cinnabons and watching Cinemax, really believing that we're going to be physically and spiritually fit, when we know there's no way that can happen. And so it's a belief of many that as a nation, we've just gone too far to avoid the judgment of God. That we have traveled down the road of sin to such a point that we sit right on the brink, right on the edge of judgment from God. And so I constantly wonder if, when, and how God is going to choose to judge this nation. And so that's why I decided that we needed to look at the book of Jeremiah today, because Jeremiah stood in a very similar situation. Jeremiah's nation, it was the southern nation of Israel, and it was known as Judah. They were in the world to represent God in the world. And God had already judged the northern part of Israel and taken them into captivity from which they would never return. And here's Judah, They stand on the edge of judgment themselves, ready to be carried off into captivity and just totally ignoring God. But before God comes in to judge this nation, He would warn them, and He would warn them again. So, if you would, let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's begin looking in Jeremiah chapter 5, and let's see what God had to say to a nation that was greatly blessed, a nation that was much like our nation. Let's see what God has to say to them as He speaks through Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judea, saying," and this is Preacher Jeremiah, you go tell God's people. That's what you're supposed to do. Verse 21, "Hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not." Jeremiah, he stands up to preach and he says, "Listen, people, pay attention, people. You have eyes, but you're not using them. You're not using them to see. You have ears, but you're not using your ears to listen. You know all about God and how wonderful God has been to you, but you don't see God doing anything anymore. You don't even notice God anymore. God speaks and you can't hear Him. God works and you can't see Him. And it's because you're not obeying God. It's because you haven't been faithful to God. And so you're missing it all. Verse 22, "Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence?" And I want to stop right there for a moment. God is saying to the people again through Jeremiah, "Have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten all the lessons that I've taught you? Have you forgotten about my power? Have you forgotten about my knowledge? Have you forgotten what I'm capable of doing? I am God. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten my standards? Do you not fear me anymore?" God says, "Do you have no fear of me? Are you living under some kind of rock, and you think you can just continually sin and continually do whatever you want to do and not be judged?" He says, "Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it." God says, "You have the rising, roaring, surging, storming sea, but it's bound by this little thin strip of sand that I have created." And God says, this little boundary, I use it to hold the sea in check. And the sea can't, as strong as the sea is, that sea cannot bust my boundaries unless I let it. I have great control over the sea, God says. But in verse 23, "But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed." God says, "I can contain the sea. I can control the sea. But my people, they're kind of stubborn and they're really rebellious. Their hearts have grown hard. They've walked away from me. They've abandoned me. I contain the sea, but I can't contain my people. I put a boundary around my people." The boundary, God would tell them, was the Word of God that the prophets had taught them year after year after year. "And I put this boundary around them, but they just walk past the boundary. They ignore the boundary. And I cannot contain them. And they've gone too far." This rebellious heart of man, it's stronger than a surging sea. And all my promises and all my revelation and my word and my love and my forgiveness, it cannot restrain the heart that is resolved to rebel. And you know how that is. We all know how that is. When we've set in our minds, or you know somebody, they've set in their minds to do whatever they want to do, whatever kind of sin it is, once they've set it in their minds, nothing stops them. Nothing stops us. We just bust through the boundaries and we do what we want to do. It's all out rebellion, God said. Have mercy, Lord. Amen. It's like we sometimes just look at God and say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do things my way. And it's living beyond the boundaries of God. And so Jeremiah, he comes along and he begins to beg the people and he begins to share with the people what God has told him. And he says, you're living on the edge of judgment. Your rebellion has gone as far as God is going to allow it. And it's over now. You're doomed. And so Jeremiah, he preaches that judgment is coming. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah preaches that judgment's coming from Babylon, which seemed very strange to them because Babylon's a very pagan nation. It would be like God preaching or a man preaching today and telling America judgment's coming from China or judgment's coming from Russia or judgment's coming from ISIS. And we're going to go, what? They're a bunch of pagans. But God says, and God can use pagan nations and pagan people to judge His people, to bring judgment on His people. And for Judah, it would be the end of glory days. It would be the end of all the wondrous works of God. It would be the end of God's protection of their nation. And it was Jeremiah's job to preach about the judgment of God. It was his ministry to preach in a time where nobody wanted to hear about God. Listen, they thought he was crazy. They thought there was something wrong with Jeremiah, but he preached anyway. He preached for 42 years, and that is a long time to beg people to come back to God and to be faithful to God and beg for revival in the land. It's just a long time as he would beg the people to turn back to God, but never really see any change. Never really see anything happen. The people really believed that Jeremiah was out of touch with the times. From their vantage point, they thought, we have it pretty good, Jeremiah. We cannot understand why you're so upset. Why don't you stop preaching so hard and just relax? Because they couldn't see and they couldn't hear. As a matter of fact, it seemed like the more he preached for them to turn back to God, the more he preached repentance, the further away they got from God, and the deeper they seemed to get in sin. They just pushed God aside. Listen. They were just like America. They were too busy for God. Too busy for God. They did not have time for God. And now it was too late. And I want you to know, and I'm going to plead with you as Jeremiah is. I want you to know that God's patience will run out with us. God's patience will run out with me. God's patience will run out with you. You can only wait so long to turn back to God. One day, God's patience will run out with us. And make no mistake about it, that's our story in America today. If someone would be like Jeremiah and get up and begin to preach this message over and over and over again like Jeremiah, you might think he was a little bit out of touch with reality. You might think he was a crazy man. But I'll tell you this. In our churches all over America, we need a serious spiritual awakening. We are in trouble. Whoa. Now calm down, preacher. You don't usually act like this. Just relax. You know, you and Jeremiah, calm down. Let me tell you this. Back in the 1950s, 96% of all children in the local schools were involved in church somewhere. That's amazing, isn't it? 1950s, 96% of all children involved in the local schools were also involved in church somewhere. Do you know what that is today? Do you know what the percentage is today? 4%. All you got to do is look around you. Where are the children? And you have to ask their parents. 4% of all children in local schools today are involved in the local church. That's kind of scary, isn't it? We need a spiritual awakening in our country today. I mean, it's so sad that we've turned so far away from God. And Jeremiah, I mean, he was the steady voice of God, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and it in no way deterred the disaster that was coming their way. I hope it's going to be different here in America. I hope somebody will hear God speaking through me. I pray that folks will hear God speaking through other men. Because if we don't, we live on the edge of destruction. Jeremiah's day, no one would listen. Again, Jeremiah, he preached for 42 years. And that's hard. Listen, I can preach for 1 week, and if nobody responds, I cry all the way home, don't I, Cindy? I'm such a baby. Jeremiah preached for 42 years. No one seemed to listen. Now, there were a few people, because there's always a small group of people who will listen, a small remnant of people. There's a small remnant of people in the United States today, and I pray you're one of them. I pray that you're one of them. But I'm not under any kind of illusion that my preaching about a dying nation, I'm not under any illusion that it might really change anything. I hope and pray that it does. But I try not to get my hopes too high. Because when I look, it just seems like we've gone too far. Well, preacher, you're so negative. You know, why do you continue preaching? I continue preaching because that's what God has called me to do. And that's what God has called you to do. I continue to be faithful because that's what God has called me to do. And if no one else will follow God, I want to follow God. If no one else will listen, I sure do want to listen. I understand we live in ungodly times, and we really need to respond to God. Let me show you a little bit more from the book of Jeremiah. This time it's chapter 1 and verse 4. Here's Jeremiah. Again, he stands before the people of God. He's the preacher in the nation that's headed for disaster. And God wants him to preach no matter what. God's not saying, okay, Jeremiah, if nobody responds this week, you just go home and forget it. He wants him to just keep on preaching no matter what. Do you know why? Because God is fair. God is fair. And God will warn, and God will warn before God judges. And because there are a few who will listen. There are a few who will turn to God. So Jeremiah, you just keep on preaching. It's chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying," and that's a very important verse. Because that helps us understand, and that reminds us, Jeremiah's not making this stuff up. You know, he's not just trying to scare people so he can build a big church. Jeremiah's saying, God told me this. This is what God told me to preach. This is what God told me to say. And even though all of his warnings were usually unsuccessful, Jeremiah continued to preach because he heard a word from God and he continued to preach. And then the next verse, and you know the next verse very well, But this time I want you to kind of focus on the end of the verse. We usually focus on the beginning. This time I want you to see the end of the verse. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, before you were ever born, God knew you. Jeremiah, before you were ever born, God knew your name. God knew who you would be. Before you were ever born, God's plan was for you to preach to a dying nation. God's plan was for you to share the words. Jeremiah, you're on the master's mission. Before you were even born, you were sanctified to serve God. And folks, I want you to know, those of us who are saved, we are saved to serve Him. It is every saint should serve the Savior. Every saint should serve the Savior. So can I ask you today, what's your mission? What's your ministry? We all have one. Let me show you what I mean. It's Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We all have a great ministry. We all were prepared for a great ministry. Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, "For we are God's workmanship." That's good stuff, right? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance, a long time ago, in advance for us to do. I mean, God prepared you and God prepared me for a mission, for a ministry. So do you mind if I ask, do you have a heart to serve God? Do you have a desire to serve God? Do you feel this burden in your heart for other people? And I ask that because that's what you were created for. That's what you were created to do. You are, again, you're God's workmanship. You are made for ministry. If you've ever been in search for a purpose in life, there's a great place to start right there. You are created for good works, made for ministry. But wait a minute, preacher. Good works don't save you, and you're exactly right. Good works don't save you, but after you've been saved, your life is to be full of good works. Good works after good works after good works, because that's what we were created for. You folks are a part of the body of Christ, and you know what that means? Every one of you, look here. You know what that means? That means you are needed. You are needed in your church. The body of Christ best functions with all of its parts. Now, let's ask the question. Can the body of Christ function without all of its parts? Absolutely it can. It's been doing it for years. But it best functions with all of its parts. So you are needed. You are needed. The church needs you. You were created to serve the body of Christ. Jeremiah was not the only man, was not the only person in Judah that was to witness to the world. The whole nation of Judah, they were all supposed to be witnesses to the world. They were called the people of Judah. Most often, the pagan nations, do you know how they referred to the people of Judah? Do you know what they said about them? They said, those are the people of God. Just like many people refer to America as that Christian nation, they were the people of God, but they sure didn't act like it. You would never have known by looking at the way these people just lived out their everyday life, you would have never have known that they were the people of God. They were supposed to be serving the king, but they didn't. Let me summarize Jeremiah's message and really summarize this great country we live in by reading to you a couple of verses. First, it's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7. I hope you held your place. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. I brought you into a bountiful country, and that's what God has done with every one of us. We were born in the greatest country in the world. We're very, very fortunate people. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruits and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. And that's certainly our land today. I'm not being overdramatic. Now look down at verse 11. Has a nation changed its gods? Certainly we have. Which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory. For what does not profit? Verse 17, have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Verse 28, but where are your gods that they have made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Oh my goodness. You know what he just said? Everything's God to them but me. They've turned everything into God. But powerful, powerful verses as Jeremiah is begging and pleading the people. He says, you're children of God. You're to be pure. You are called to confront the ungodly people in the ungodly nations, but instead, you've become just like them. You know, he goes on, and we didn't get a chance to read it. He goes on to say, these ungodly nations out there, you're supposed to be out there teaching them and preaching to them about God, but instead you've traveled down to Egypt and you've gone over to Assyria and you've decided you would rather drink the muddy waters of the Nile than the pure waters of God. You've just gone out into the world and you become just like them. You know why that happened? Because they had no sense of separation from the world. And we don't either. We don't either. The church is no longer separate from the world. For so many churches, for so many Christian folks, we look just like the world. Sometimes you can't tell the difference between the world and us. We are so engulfed in materialism and worldly things that we have begun scheduling our schedule around the things of the world rather than around the things of God. It's gotten so bad here in America that we're hurting the Christian character and hurting our wit. Oh, and I'm praying that God will raise up some extraordinary, exceptional people in these dying days of a nation to live that separated life. Poor Jeremiah. I mean, standing tall in the face of unfaithful people. I wonder, does God have a man or a woman in this building today that would stand tall for him in the face of unfaithful and an ungodly country? And I know, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, again, preacher, goodness, get you some blood pressure medicine and calm down. Just relax. But folks, I can't, because I believe it's worse than I was able to even describe to you this morning. We can't even see it anymore. We've gone so far that we can't see it. And I want, please, don't misunderstand me one bit at all this morning. I would prefer to preach a message to you that just lifts your spirit. I would prefer to preach a message to you that just encourages you. And I've told you this before, and I believe this with all my heart. One of the biggest parts of my job as a preacher is to encourage people, to encourage you through His Word, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But also as a preacher of God's Word, I have to preach repentance. Our country needs it. We need messages on repentance. The worship of materialism is destroying us, and it's time to turn back to God. There's nothing more that we need in our world today than for us to fall on our faces as godly men and women and ask God to help us and to help our nation repent. So can I ask you to do something today? Would you do me a favor? Would you just look into your own life? Would you just examine yourself? Because only you and God can do that. I can't do that. The person beside you can't do that. But you can look into your life and examine your life. And would you trust God to reveal what God needs to reveal to you about you? Would you listen today? Would you see today? Recently, I've heard about, and unfortunately, it's just pockets of people. Pockets of churches where God's beginning to do something. And I mean, in these little pockets and in these churches, people are just flooding back to the altar of God like it was in the old days. And they're just getting on their face before God and they're asking God to do something in their lives and to do something in our nation. And they're beginning to repent and they're allowing God to change them. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine over the past couple of days, and he was telling me about in his church a couple of weeks ago, they had the Lord's Supper, and people got saved during the Lord's Supper. And listen, he said, I've never experienced that before. In all the years that he's been preaching, he's never experienced, and I haven't either, never experienced someone getting saved during the Lord's Supper. God's not going to do anything in our lives until we begin to listen, until we begin to see, until we really and truly put God first again. Put God first where He's supposed to be. See, God wants you to be close and clean, but you can't be close until you're clean. And we need to clean up our act. Time and time and time again. Praise team, if you would come this morning. Folks, I'm going to ask you for just a moment if you'd stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask you just a couple of simple questions. Is there anyone here today who's willing to stand strong for God? Do we have people in our midst that will do that? Can I ask you, are you serving God? Do you serve? You are desperately needed. Are you serving God somehow? Is God speaking to you this morning? Are you listening to Him? Is God speaking to us as a church to begin that life of living a separated life? Is that what God is saying to us? Do you need to trust God for something in your life? How is God speaking to you? Like Jeremiah, I beg you, come back to God. Turn to God. Trust in God. Allow God to work in your life. As these folks sing these altars, it's for you, it's for us. You come. And you begin to speak to God, and you begin to talk to God, and watch God do amazing things in your life. Let's not ignore Him anymore. You come as they sing.